The Cool Concerts on Thursday Nights series continues tonight with a performance by violinist Megan Healy with pianist Helen Lucan. And I'm really thrilled to have both Megan and Helen here in the studio at WMUK. Thank you for coming in to talk about the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Megan, what brought you to Kalamazoo? And tell me about your experience as a musician.
I grew up in St. Charles, Illinois, which is a western suburb of Chicago, and I found myself at the University of Iowa for my undergraduate degree, and my teacher there, Scott Conklin, studied with Professor Renata Knifick at a summer program when he was about 12 years old, and they kept in touch since then. And Professor Knifick was touring with the Merling Trio through Iowa. And Scott set up a little lesson for me at the University of Iowa, and we just really hit it off and had one of the best lessons on Bach that I've ever had. So then I decided to come to Western, and I pursued my master's degree here as Professor Knifick's assistant. So I've had a great time in Kalamazoo. There's a lot of great artistic opportunities here where I've gotten involved through both Western Michigan, the Kalamazoo Symphony, and a lot of the area orchestras and educational programs around here.
What do you hope to do in the near future?
I am hoping to pursue my doctoral degree. The dream job for me would be to have a university position where I could teach and also pursue playing.
Mm-hmm. Would you take me back to that lesson with Renata? Renata is well known in Kalamazoo and West Michigan as the professor of violin at Western. And yet, maybe there aren't a lot of stories told about the intimacy of a lesson, you know, what it's really like when it's just the two of you going back and forth about music and playing violin.
Sure. Renata's really great about just pinpointing exactly what you need to hear at that moment. And she's really great at building a personal relationship as teacher, as student. And there's a lot of trust there. And she's very warm and just open. You can come to her with about anything. And in our first lesson, she just was very helpful and really pinpointed exactly what my issues were and came at them from a very good, nurturing place.
Were they issues you knew you had that you were frustrated with, or maybe something you just hadn't been hearing or dealing with?
I have always had a great experience with very musical teachers, which Renata is also very musical, but I was kind of lacking that technical side. And so I would be trying to do things musically that were just harder because I didn't have that technique. So she really got in there and combined the two, and that was the winning combination for me.
Mm-hmm. What else were you participating in as a student at Western Michigan University? What did a typical day or week look like?
I think really at Western, it can be as great as you want to make it. And so I really dove in. And my first year at Western, I was assisting Professor Knifick with instructing the music education majors. So I would maybe have 5 private lessons during the day that I was instructing, orchestra class, some chamber music, playing with my quartet. And I would instruct private lessons to local elementary students in the evening, and then maybe a rehearsal for one of my local orchestra gigs at night. But I also was president of the Music Graduate Student Association at Western. I think that the graduate program at Western, particularly in the School of Music, is instrumental in the school's success. No pun intended, but the graduate students come in with experience where they have already accomplished what the undergraduate students are hoping to accomplish, which is finish an undergraduate degree in music and perhaps be accepted to a graduate program. And also, many of our students have already had experience as teachers in elementary, middle, high school. And we have a lot of education majors that then they have someone that has had this experience. A lot of my friends were involved in a program where graduate students would go and watch education majors in their practicum and give them feedback where they've already participated in practicum or been a band director. Also, the graduate students just bring a high level of playing and musical and life experience to the program. I think the graduate program is very valuable, and the Music Graduate Student Association really helps highlight that. And another component of the program is instructing entrepreneurial skills, where in music,
on top of everything.
Yes, on top of everything. A graduate student is very busy. But today, there's no guarantees in music. There's not necessarily the NBC Orchestra or one of the great, huge city orchestras. There's not necessarily a professor job for everyone. And you have to be able to find a way to make yourself relevant and support yourself.
What you're describing to me sounds like a lot of dedication to others, to other groups, to students, to leadership. But tonight's concert, this is for you. This is you and Helen Lucan at the piano sharing music one-on-one with the audience.
That's very true. And this was a really fun experience for Helen and I to be able to showcase our relationship and the conversational nature of this music.
What are you playing tonight?
Tonight, we will be playing the first Beethoven violin sonata in D major. And I will be playing the first Bach unaccompanied sonata, as well as the Mozart sonata for violin and piano, and Zingunerweisen, also known as Gypsy Airs by Pablo de Sarasate. We really wanted to find some characterful, entertaining, witty pieces and a lot of contrast and give everyone a taste of a lot of different styles of music.
So I assume that this isn't something you just put together last week. How long have you been working on the pieces alone and then with Helen?
This is kind of a mix. I've worked on the Bach a few times, brought it back a few times, and it's different every time. So that has been a couple years in the process. Zingunerweisen, I studied when I first came to Western, and a lot of things have changed since then. So it's very interesting to see how that's developed. The Beethoven, Helen and I both started learning this summer, and that's come together very well. And then the Mozart is one of my favorite pieces that I've also played with a close piano friend. So that's been fun to bring together.
Could we talk about the Beethoven? Is that what starts the program?
Yes.
All right. Helen, maybe I'll ask you about Beethoven being, of course, a brilliant pianist. There's something so, is it bold or fresh? You can hear even in his really early pieces when he's under the influence of Mozart and Haydn.
Yes, I think so. I think you can hear the element of surprise a lot, which is really exciting. And I think that's what makes it fun and exciting for me to play. You have these soft passages, and then all of a sudden you have these explosive chords coming in, and it's kind of fun to be able to manipulate those characters and get that across in the music. In the theme and variation part of this, there are themes that we exchange and melodies that we exchange. So it is conversational, and I like being able to have that conversation with Megan. Megan's a wonderful musician, and she has a really great ear. And we've been able to almost just kind of inevitably do this kind of exchange and have this conversation without even talking about it, but being able to read each other really well. And that doesn't happen often in a new playing relationship. So I feel lucky in that respect.
I also, I think one has to have an understanding that, that with both the Mozart and the Beethoven, these were pianist violin partnerships where the piano was as equal, if not a little more. I mean, they were often published with titles Sonata for Pianoforte and Violin, right, Megan?
Most definitely.
So your job really is to have an equal partnership with the piano lines.
I agree 100%. And that's kind of what makes this more fun for me. I would love to just work with someone else and have this equal partnership and exchange. I find that more fun than being the violin diva myself.
But you do have to play the Sarasate later on.
I mean, do.
You do have to go full diva later in the program.
We had to give everyone a little taste of that.
The concert begins at 8 o'clock tonight. It's free and open to the public. A free will offering is accepted for this series called Cool Concerts on Thursday Nights. If I didn't mention it before, it's at the First Baptist Church of Kalamazoo. And the series will continue next week with cellist Lillian Pettit. And again, the following week, actually on Wednesday, with Carolyn Keeble and Eldon Kelly. Megan, I'd like to take a short break for some music. Do you have a favorite recording of the Beethoven?
I like the Grumio recording of the Beethoven.
That is music from the first violin sonata of Ludwig van Beethoven. And I have to admit, Megan, I haven't heard that in a long time, and maybe I should get it out of the library more often. Very early piece.
It really shows the influence from Haydn, Mozart. The opening sounds like a Haydn symphony, as we've discussed. Not played very often, but it's a great piece, lots of character.
Mm. Did he have any violinist friends that you know of that premiered the piece with him? Or?
I'm not sure about the premiere, but there is one interesting tidbit about this sonata. It's dedicated to Salieri, which many people are familiar with Salieri from the dramatized role in Amadeus, the film, where Salieri is seen as Mozart's bitter rival and eventually poisons him. So that's kind of an interesting pairing with our Mozart sonata on this program.
My guests are Megan Healy, violinist, and pianist Helen Lucan, and they're performing tonight at 8 o'clock at the First Baptist Church of Kalamazoo, an evening of live performances of great, great violin and piano sonatas and showpieces. We have Beethoven, Bach, Mozart, and Sarasate on the program. Do you play Mozart or Bach after the Beethoven?
Beethoven is followed by Bach.
Okay, so it'll be you alone for a little while.
A little contrast from, and gives Helen a little break from a lot of heavy lifting.
Thank you.
You said that coming back to it, the music changes, your approach changes.
I think so. I think starting young, a lot of my approach is very aggressive, and there's a little bit of that left. But as I get older, I feel more of a deeper connection and maybe a little bit more soulful.
So you let Bach do the talking in a way, and less trying to impose yourself on it.
I think so. I think a lot of times, and this is something that I've been working on in my studies with Renata Knifick, just letting things happen, things end up coming out better that way.
Is there a freedom in playing by yourself, playing this music? It can take a lot of different kinds of approaches.
I think there's great freedom in playing this unaccompanied music. You have all the time in the world, and you can just let things happen where they sound the best. And I think the acoustics at First Baptist are really going to help us with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Beautiful place to hear music. Again, that's at 8 o'clock tonight, and it is a free program as part of the Cool Concerts on Thursday Nights series. With Mozart, we get into a little difficulty in knowing what instruments he intended his sonatas to be played on. This was a transitional period for between what, harpsichord and fortepiano, Helen? So you like, do I try to sound like a harpsichord or fortepiano?
Well, I try to take a lighter approach to this music. And one of the things I love about this particular piece, it's just so charming. It's very rarely performed, and it's my first time performing it. And you know, in Mozart's music, it's still relevant today. And so the lighter approach to this music, definitely, it makes it easier for me as far as a performer, but it's difficult also because I'm not used to that lighter approach always. I accompany a lot of brass instruments, so I found that to be a little more difficult for me.
Would you use any sort of techniques from the era to bring life to the music? Straighter tones, things, ornamentations, things like that?
There's definitely a lot of use of ornamentation in actually all of the pieces that we're playing, and they take different techniques depending on the style of the period. And in Mozart's music, as a violinist, there's a lot of things that we discuss that go into that with the ornamentation, and also things like the articulation, creating space on either side of a note and not necessarily sustaining through everything.
Well, here's a piece that I, or a recording that I pulled out of the WMUK Record Library, and I vouch for this recording. I do like hearing David Brightman on pianoforte and Jean-Francois Rivest on violin playing as a team in these Mozart sonatas. Let's hear the second movement. Music just filled with charm, music of Mozart that doesn't pretend to be the next great masterpiece, but is sort of a music for friends. And the friends in this case are Megan Healy and Helen Lucan performing music of Mozart, Beethoven, Bach, and Sarasate later tonight at the Cool Concerts on Thursday Night series. Megan and Helen, again, a charming piece of music that doesn't get played very often. During the music, we were talking again, Helen, about the difficulty of finding that lightness that goes with this music.
It's definitely a different mindset for, I'm speaking just for myself, as an accompanist for many brass instruments and heavier literature.
So you are literally playing harder with other instruments.
Yes. Yeah. So I really have to come at this from a different approach in mindset, to be more light and listen closely and the exchange of the musical conversation that's happening. But it's very detailed for me to have that approach, and a difficult thing. The task at hand is difficult for me to be able to execute that type of playing.
Am I accurate in saying that it's not a masterpiece? I mean, is it to you? Do you find certain secret codes and ways that he manipulated with genius here? Or does it sound just like social music to you as well?
I think the beauty of this music is its simplicity. And like you said, that there is no pretense of being the next great masterpiece. I think this is just parlor music, and it's just a joy to play. And we thought that that really captured the spirit of this series and the last few relaxed weeks of summer.
Now that we're at the end of the concert, tell us again how you will conclude the program.
We will be concluding with the Zugunerweisen by Sarasate, also known as Gypsy Airs, which is a series of three gypsy songs. The first is very dramatic and commanding. The second, a little more mournful. And the third, very feisty and spirited.
When did Sarasate live in relation to Mozart and Beethoven?
Sarasate lived in the late 1800s, towards the end of the Romantic period, where there was a lot of this show-offy, virtuoso music happening.
Okay. This would have been written for himself to play?
Yes. This piece was written and premiered by Sarasate himself, who was one of the highest-paid concert violinists of his time, earning as much as $3,000 per concert.
Well, I guess that's a lot.
I guess in 1878, 3,000 was quite a bit.
It sounds like you've got a very full and very entertaining program for tonight. I wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kara.